Very good morning to you as well today. Thank you for being in the Lord's house today. What a beautiful place we have to worship Him. You know, there's a great dividing line right through human history. Now, I know you here are very familiar with that dividing line, but the reality is that we're either on one side or the other. We're either in that paddock over there or this paddock over here. The difference is as stark as, on the one hand, being able to go home to a warm place that belongs to us versus someone who is wrapped in a cardboard box under a bridge with nowhere else to sleep. And the thing that divides us is, in fact, who we worship. Now, I want to acknowledge and to proclaim before you today that there are many parts that are common to both paddocks, to both sides of the line. We all have to eat. We all need to find rest. We all need to find shelter. On both sides there is love. On both sides there is creativity, endeavour, good works, wonderful things. But nevertheless, the line is there. Last week we delved quite deeply into that other paddock. And we thought together and reflected together on how it is that we become influenced by the powers and principalities in the heavenly realm which are opposed to God. Today I want to go to the other side of the fence and talk about how it is that we, I'm saying we because I understand that, well, we're on that other side of the paddock, aren't we? Well, I think we are. I assume we are. How it is that God works in that space. How it is that God blesses us and makes us whole and gives us life. It's a kind of a balancing counterpoint to the way we talked last week, which I think is very, very necessary. The question that we need to ask ourselves today is who do we actually trust for this life? Who do we allow to have priority in our lives? Who do we honour? Whose voice do we attend to? I guess I'm the first to admit that it's pretty easy to cross that dividing line. Sometimes it's by accident, because we're not paying attention to what's going on. A week or so ago, I actually chopped my finger with a carving knife. There are 5 stitches there, nice and blue and colourful at the moment. It's all healed up. But all I was doing was carving some meat off the bone. And I wasn't paying attention to where my finger was in relation to the knife and where it might travel if it came out of the meat. Sometimes we're a bit like drivers on the road and we find ourselves just veering off a little bit because we're not paying attention to what's on around us. So Sometimes, yes, we do cross the line because we deliberately hold on to the strongholds that are not part of life on the other side of that line. We have that capacity to be chameleon-like, changing our colours to match our surrounds. And in doing so, we find ourselves in the wrong paddock. But all of these things don't actually argue against the line, that division. They simply help us to understand that these things occur at times. Now, I want to take you to Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, I might just start at Matthew chapter 12, just one particular verse, which highlights what I've just been saying. It's Jesus who said, "Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters." That's the starkness of this division in human history. Paul in Romans 8 again presents for us very strongly and very beautifully what it means to live in the paddock where God is worshipped, where we are at home with God. The opening verses in chapter 8 say, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." And a little bit later on, Paul talking about the way the Spirit works in our lives. "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." It's pretty stark, isn't it? But I believe that we are in a place of understanding the truth as we hear those words. And I need to say to you this morning, before we go too much further, that actually the end game really is the paddock that belongs to God. That's all that will remain when this age comes to an end. And his open invitation is always to come, always to be with him, to be part of his family, to be at worship of him and with him. So let's explore for a little while God's ways. I think there's one word that we can use to describe God's ways. It's the word blessing. For I see from within this paddock that God's heart desire is always to bless, is always to bring back together what has been broken apart. It's always to work for the good and the benefit of those in that paddock and even those in the other paddock. And right from the very foundation of the creation, we learn that God created all things, and that was good. We learn that God created us, human beings, in his own image. Now that little phrase is really important because it says something about us in our very essence, in the fullness of what it means to be human. And that is that we are able to hear from God, we're able to listen to God, we're able to speak with God, we're able to know God for who God is because we are made in his image. And we might say very strongly that it means that we are designed to live with God and be in fellowship with God. So that's the first blessing that has come to us, just the way we were created by the living God who created all things out of love and joy and wonder. The second thing about the way God works is that he welcomes those back who have turned away or who have never actually been part of his life. I'm reminded of that beautiful story in Luke 15 where Jesus tells the story of the man and his two sons, and the youngest son wanted to disown his father. Indeed, his actions were such that he really wanted his father to consider him dead, no longer part of his life, no longer part of the family estate, no longer part of the family's fellowship. And so he left, and you know the story, don't you? He squandered everything that he had taken from his father's estate. He got to the lowest possible ebb in his life and realised that actually he needed to turn around and go back home, acknowledging his failings and pleading with his father that he would take him back. But the beautiful part about that story, as you well know, is the fact that when he got home, his father was there waiting for him with open arms. Let's celebrate. You've come home. What was lost has been found. Do you know that illustrates the great blessing that God wants to pour out on all people that welcome those open arms are there for the whole world to say, here I am. I'm here too. God blesses us with his life, with his presence and his power. I'm turning to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, the first chapter in Ephesians is all about the spiritual blessings which are ours and celebrating that. You should read it if you haven't already done so, or if you haven't done so for a while. But today I want to just move on to the second chapter because this is what it says. All of us who also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, listen to this, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. What blessing! What joy to have his life, to be in his life. Everything that God does in this world is designed to bring us to that place. God blesses us with his leadership. A very quick story of my own. Quite a lot of years ago, we lived in Deniliquin, New South Wales, and in those days I was a chartered accountant working in the local firm. We had about 20 staff, and we were a part of the local church, as always. And because I was the local accountant, or one of them, and I went to church, they gave me the job of being treasurer for the church. And lo and behold, at some point in that season, I was asked to lead one of the infamous, maybe, stewardship campaigns in our church. It was a very interesting campaign, I might say. And part of it was to do Bible studies that related to giving and the management of what we had and allowing God to be part of that. And it came towards the end of that, and I guess I was confronted by a fact in my life that I hadn't really been willing to admit before. And that was the amount I was putting in the plate. Now, bearing in mind that I was a well-paid senior accountant in a very busy accounting practice, the amount of money that I was putting into the plate was $5 a week. And I came to realise how disturbing that was in God's sight, how inadequate it was, how unfaithful it was. The message that we were sort of selling was that, you know, if you want a standard to work to, well, then let's work on the standard of 10%, the tithe. I can tell you very clearly that that didn't compute. And so after consulting with my beautiful wife, it seemed appropriate to go down that path, and with fear and trembling in my heart, because we had a young family, we always had difficulty managing our finances, I threw $100 in the plate, which was about the 10% mark for what I earned. I didn't at the time know this, but I do now, that actually money was something that was I aspired to, that I wanted to gain more and more and more of. And that was actually leading me away from God's good plans and purposes for me. It was a stronghold in my life. And the only remedy for that stronghold was to actually do what God says. Give me what you can to honour me and bless me and the work in the church. So that clearly for me was a leading of the Holy Spirit, a recognition of something that was totally wrong in my life that God needed to fix up. My witness today, dear friends, is that we have four children. Every one of them we've put through university with our own money. And today we own a house, nearly own a house, And all of our children came through university with our support and not much government support. So God has been good to us. Because we have been faithful to him in our giving and in our support of the work. Finally this morning I want to turn back to Mark chapter 1 that we had read to us and just pick up a few points there about the way God works in this world and in our lives as well. And I think that they're important for us to take note of this morning, because actually they come from the words and the works of Jesus, our Saviour. Why can't I find it? Here we go. So this is Mark 1:29. Look, firstly, this is just a little side note. Did you notice that Simon had a family? Simon Peter, the disciple? He's got a mother-in-law. He therefore has a wife. He no doubt probably had children. I do remember that John and James were kind of pulled off the fishing boat. They had a business going and they left that. They're not very much different to what we are. But anyway, Simon's mother-in-law was sick and Jesus just went to her and took her hand and helped her up. And in that moment, the fever that was on her left her. And she began to wait on them. Now, that's a very important little sentence because it tells us that she was healed and she was restored to her family and able to do the things that she was expected to do, which was to serve them as a host. Do you know that power of healing still exists today? Not in you. Not in me, but it exists in the power of God, in the Holy Spirit. And I believe God today is asking us to see for ourselves again that his work is a work of healing and reconciliation and restoration, and that we need to be engaged in that work together with God himself. We find out later on that many, many people came to the door and again Jesus healed them and demons were cast out. People had their diseases restored and made well. Jesus got up early and went and prayed in a solitary place. Do you know, God really does want us to come apart from life, to be with him in that place of worship, of quietness and trust, in that place of conversation, in that place of hearing God, in that place of understanding who God is and what he's calling us to. We know that because Jesus did that. Everybody in town is pretty excited about what they'd seen, all those healings and release and so on. And so his disciples are really excited as they come charging after him to find out where he is. And we find Jesus not being put off by that excitement, but rather focusing upon the things that he has been called to do, which is not to respond to the euphoria that came from all those miracles, but to preach the gospel, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. Brothers and sisters, that work of Jesus is the work that we have to do. And Evan this morning has given us an example of how he goes about that in delivering the word of God to many different places. It could be you doing that, but it could be you doing other things as well that actually point people to the reality of the kingdom, because that's the way God works, through us delivering his invitation to others who need to know that invitation. I'm hurrying along a little bit, friends, because I need to. But Let me just, just in case you're a little bit worried about getting involved, praying for healing, proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Saviour, then hear this. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Can we hear that together today? Just that wonderful gift, because God is a God of blessing, that gift of his own life, his own power, his own self into your presence, into your life. God is a God of blessing, a God of welcome, a God of healing, a God who restores what is broken, a God who loves without favour, without anything other than his wonderful holiness and righteousness. And I just say to you this morning, worship him alone. Live for him. Know his ways. Trust in all that he has done and given to you out of his blessing heart. These words I've spoken in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. May his grace and peace rest upon you always.